Jesus said, "Ephatha, be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened. And Jesus opens the ears of the deaf, but not just the physically deaf, but also opening our ears to hear his word. Last week I talked about that we're beginning this sort of preaching series on the word of God, on the Bible, on the scriptures, the way that which he speaks to us. He speaks to us in many ways, but primarily through his revealed word to us. So that first and foremost, to read the scriptures, the Bible, the word of God, we need the word of God himself to help us understand that word. Jesus Christ, called the word made flesh. That we need him to understand and reveal the word to us. That it's through him, he is the lens in which we read the scriptures. He's the key that unlocks it. Because he's the final word. It's kind of like when you're watching a great movie or reading a good book, that there's all these things that happen, but they don't really all come together or make sense until you get to the last part of the book, the last line, the last words of the book. That all of a sudden becomes the way that all of a sudden this all makes sense. And that's what Jesus does for us, to help open the word to us. He is that word that opens this all up and brings it all together for us. So we need Jesus to read the scriptures, and thus we need faith to read the scriptures. Now, there's plenty of people out there who go and try to read the word of God without faith. And sure, there can be some academic merit to that. But really, that's not the way it's meant to be intended. That we need to read it with faith, assuming that there is a God who is real and alive and acting and lovingly cares about humanity. The Bible assumes we know that when we approach the scriptures. But of course, there's certainly people out there. There's angry atheists who will read and say that the Old Testament is this angry and egotistical and wrathful ogre of a God who's just sort of incompatible with Jesus Christ, who seems a little nicer. But we as people of faith, that's not at all how we read the Old Testament. Because if you really delve into it, the overarching narrative of this story, of the Old Testament especially, isn't just an angry and wrathful God, but rather it's a very loving and a merciful God. That the overarching story is there is a God, is God pursuing humanity, pursuing his people who continually turn away from him, who betray him, who reject him, who despise him and ignore him. And yet again and again he continues to seek people out. These people out to draw them back to himself, to draw them back to his heart, and to bring them home. Home to the Garden of Eden, to the Eden paradise that they themselves lost. This is the overarching sweep of the Old Testament. And yeah, sometimes there's things in there that seem really violent. It can be hard even for us of faith to understand what to do with. And next week I'll talk a little more about what do we do with violent passages in the Old Testament. But the overarching narrative is this God who seeks his people. And yes, there are moments when the people that he's seeking need to be purified and disciplined and punished. Just as a good father does to their child. At a time we need to discipline and punish our own children so that they can learn, that they can grow, that they can be purified. And so God does with the people of Israel. And there are moments, sometimes, when God has to yell at his people. And we get that especially through the prophets. It's sometimes these words where it sounds like God is yelling, and God is angry, and it's expressed in very human language and human emotion. But it's all driven out of this love to seek these people and bring them back to themselves. Bring them back to himself, to God, to his own heart, to be united with his people that he loves. And this book, the Bible, is to reveal this God to us. Now, many times when people read the Bible, and I've been asked this question, that the question arises, is the Bible true? Is the Bible true? To which my response is, well, it depends what you mean by true. In one sense, absolutely yes, the Bible is true. But many times when people ask the question, is the Bible true? What they mean is, well, did it literally happen in this way, this historical way that it happened, as it's written down? Which the answer to that question is, well, maybe. And maybe not. But really, to ask the question, did this really happen exactly in this way, the way it's written down, is really to ask the wrong question. But that's not the question we're supposed to ask in coming to the Bible. The question the Bible wants us to ask is, what truth is this trying to communicate about who God is, and therefore, who am I in relationship to Him? That the Bible is true in that it communicates truth, the truth of who God is, the truth of who we are, and our relationship to each other and the spiritual underlying of the entire universe. But sometimes that truth is communicated, sometimes through using historical events and characters, sometimes through very metaphorical and symbolic language to communicate that truth through stories, and sometimes a blend of both to communicate the truth of who God is. It could be seen sometimes, nowadays we make all these modern movies, sometimes about historical situations and people and characters. And they make these films, but sometimes in these films, of course, there's some director's interpretation narrative, because they weren't there, but for the sake of telling the story and telling it in a good way, there's some artistic interpretation. And also, many times it's for the sake of emphasizing some sort of point, communicating some sort of message or thing that this person then represents. And at points, the Bible does the same type of thing. That while it may use historical events and characters, at times it's telling those stories in a particular way to answer the question of the truth of who God is. So to ask the question, did it really happen this way, is kind of miss the point of what the Bible's trying to do. An example also of this can be, there once was a guy named Jesus who liked to tell stories, by the way, called parables. And there's one we're probably all familiar with, the Good Samaritan, where Jesus told the story about this Samaritan who walked along and saw a Jew of all people beaten up on the side of the road. And a Good Samaritan should have just walked right by, but what did that Samaritan do? He stopped and helped his neighbor. Now, Jesus told the story, and then someone stood up and said, "Now, Jesus, did that really happen? Like, do you have any documentation of this Samaritan actually helping this person?" Well, we probably all know enough that we could easily say that that person completely missed the point of what Jesus was trying to do. He would be asking the wrong question. Because the point of that story isn't to recount necessarily something that historically happened, but that Jesus is using that story to communicate a truth. The truth of what divine love is, of what love is meant to be. That it crosses boundaries, that it's universal. It's not just loving our select few people, but it goes beyond that. And so if Jesus, who is God incarnate, can use symbolic stories to communicate truths, so it very well may happen that the God of the Old Testament has done the same things in revealing to us the Word of God. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. You go home and tell your friends, "Father Kevin said nothing is true in the Bible." Because that's not what I'm saying. But that's a thing that communicates truth. And that there is historicity in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament especially, in the Bible. That, of course, there was a real historical people of Israel, and many of these characters mentioned are real historical people. And it has historicity to it. But the Bible is not a historical textbook. So it's not recounting things as they historically happen because it's trying to communicate a truth to us, necessarily. So while there is historicity to the Bible, it is not a historical textbook, nor, by the way, is it a scientific textbook. Rather, it's a spiritual textbook. And so to read it as a historical textbook or a scientific textbook is, again, to miss the point. And also, don't hear what I'm not saying. Some of these stories in the Old Testament, maybe they really did happen. And we certainly don't deny that all the miraculous wonders that God works in the Old Testament, we certainly don't deny that God, in fact, could do those today. He is God Almighty. If he wants to part a Red Sea, he can do that. If he wants to rain down bread from heaven, he can do that. So we're not saying that either, that we're not denying this, any of the wonders of God. But if, for example, for argument's sake, if some archaeologist dug up some sort of historical evidence that said, without doubt, we have now foolproof evidence that the Exodus never happened, for example. They never will, by the way. But for argument's sake, if they did, that for us, it wouldn't affect our faith that much. Because maybe it did happen, and maybe it didn't. But that's not the point or the question we're supposed to ask. The question is, what's it saying about who this God is? That this real, true, historical people of Israel had a real experience of God, and they want to communicate, in some ways, the wonder of that mystery of God. And that sometimes a simple discourse isn't enough, but you have to use images and stories to communicate the truth and the depth of this mystery. Because that's the point of this book. To know and experience the mystery of God. And we also have to remember, when we come into the Bible, this isn't just a book, but it's a whole bunch of books, a collection of books. So when we're reading the book too, we have to ask ourselves, well, what kind of book am I in when I'm reading a book in the Old Testament? And secondly, what is the writer of this book trying to communicate? And that's also where, so what kind of book is it and what is the writer trying to communicate? And this is where also historical context can be really helpful. Understanding what's going on in the world at that time, and there's a lot of good Bibles that have really good footnotes will sometimes outline that to help us understand that. But this is a spiritual textbook, trying to communicate to us the truth of the mystery of God. And that this isn't just a story of some people who lived long ago, but this is meant to be our story. This story is meant to speak into your life of where you're at, whatever is going on in your life. To speak into your experience, maybe you feel enslaved in your life, as the people of Israel did. Or maybe those Red Seas that you have to cross, the giants you have to face. This is to speak to you the truth of who God is into your life, here and now. That this story is your story. And how do you allow that to speak into your life? To allow Christ to open us to the ways that we can hear him and hear how he wishes through his word to speak into our life.